How are we doing this morning, folks? Warm? Are we warm at least? Can I get an amen for heat? Praise God. Yeah, for heat. So a few years ago, my wife, Autumn, she asked me if I would be interested in getting a robe. It's kind of a weird question. And my initial response was, no, I'm not interested in a robe. That's what sweatpants are for. Why would I need a robe, right? That just seems like an extra added thing that's just going to clutter up my closet. I don't need that, right? Well, my wife is so much smarter than me. For those of you who have met Autumn or me, you know that already. I don't have to tell you that. And so she went ahead and bought me a robe anyway. And I will tell you, I mean, I used to think robes are for old men. I mean, that's honestly kind of what I thought, right? Well, slap me sideways and call me an old man because I love my robe. That thing is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me, except for Jesus and my wife, of course, right? I love my robe now. Like, when I come home, the first thing I'm thinking about is how to get out of my work clothes and get into my comfortable robe, right? Because when you put that thing on, right, it's so warm and snuggly, right? You get out of those uncomfortable clothes, right? You put that robe on and you sit beside the fire if you have one, and you just snuggle into the couch, right? And it's just like, it's this perfect moment of pure comfort, right? And we've been in a series here for the last couple of weeks that we're calling Songs in the Key of Praise. We've been looking at the Psalms, these amazing ancient worship songs written by God's people centuries ago. And many of the Psalms, whether we realize it or not, what they are is they are songs of comfort. And I don't know about you, but I don't just need comfort in my house, in my robe from a day to day, right, on the day to day. And there are a lot of days I need comfort in my spirit, right? I need God to kind of wrap me in a nice warm snuggie every now and then. Side note on the snuggie, is that not the greatest marketing ploy in the history of marketing? It's a robe you put on backwards, folks, okay? Right, but the Psalms, right, they really are. They are like God's snuggie for us. They are God's robe for us. And there may not be a more comforting psalm in all of the Psalms than Psalm 23. We began looking at Psalm 23 last week. We really just began looking at the first three verses. Today we're going to actually finish Psalm 23 out. I encourage you, if you missed week one, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe there, get our podcast, subscribe to that. Make sure you catch week one because this week is going to build on what we talked on about last week. And so just to give a quick recap kind of where we went in Psalm 23, right? The verse begins, "The Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing." Is that not comforting today? I mean, just right off the bat, man, right off the bat hits us with that. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Right? What does he go on to say? He continues on by saying, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. So today we left off looking at, "He refreshes my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." So if you have your Bibles today, I want to encourage you to open with me to Psalm 23. And we're going to pick up where we left off, where David, who is the writer of this psalm and understands shepherding better than just about anybody else in the history of the world, writes this. He says, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Now, if you know anything about sheep are notorious wanderers. Sheep without a shepherd will just kind of meander. They're very directionless. They're very purposeless. They just kind of are, right? And so in order for a sheep to actually have purpose, to accomplish anything, a shepherd has to lead them. Right? The shepherd has to guide them. Right? This entire passage of scripture, this entire psalm that David writes here, we recognize this, right? God is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Right? David recognizes that he is much more like a sheep than just about any other animal on the planet, right? We are prone to wander, are we not? We're prone to kind of just meander pointlessly, aimlessly through life without somebody, without something kind of directing us and leading us. Right? The truth about sheep is sheep are habitual followers. They will follow something. Right, most sheep, what they end up following is other sheep. There will be a sheep in the flock that kind of asserts its dominance and begins to lead the other sheep, right? Most of the time, that sheep is not leading them to a good place. It's leading them astray. It's probably leading them into dangerous places. It may be leading them into places where there's no food or sustenance or water. In the same way, human beings, we are habitual followers, are we not? I think we are, right? We will follow whatever the trend of the day is. We will follow people that potentially might lead us astray. We will follow the things that the world tells us we should follow. Right? We're habitual followers in that. And if we follow the world, we will end up in the same place that sheep who follow other sheep often end up. We'll end up in destitute places. That's the truth today. Right? The world is full of, I so believe this, I see this every single day. The world is full of broken homes, broken hearts and relationships, people who are addicted, people who are just down and out, going through incredibly difficult times in their life. And for many people, they ended up there because they chose to follow in a path that was not the path of the Lord. It was not the path of righteousness. What does he say? He guides me along the right paths. And this is a theme throughout Scripture. There is a right way, there is a right path to walk, and there is a wrong way. That's not politically correct in our day and age to say that. What do you mean there's a wrong way? What do you mean it's not just all relative? I think we're seeing this right now every day in our culture. People who are choosing the path that is not of God and they're ending up in places that's destroying their lives. That's what's happening. Right? The world is sick. Let's just call it what it is. Humanity is sick. There is a problem going on in our world. Right? And it is all a result of people choosing to go their own way. But the good shepherd comes along. We talked about who the good shepherd is, right? Who is our good shepherd? It is Jesus Christ, who has our best interest in mind. And here's what David says about our good shepherd. He desires to lead us down the right path. In other words, if we will follow our shepherd, he will never lead us astray. Now, we're going to find out in a few minutes here. That doesn't mean we're never going to go through some dark things. But he will never lead us down the wrong path if we will follow him. Right? What we need to become is habitual followers of our Savior, of Jesus. Right? But the truth is, let's be honest, most of us don't want to be led, do we? Like really when it gets down to it, I want to lead myself. I want to be in charge of my life. I want to make my decisions. But if we're all honest, come on, we got to be honest this morning with ourselves. We're not always the best decision makers, are we? We're not always the best people to be in control of our lives, are we? Like for me, when I'm making the decisions, like I metaphorically end up at Sheetz at midnight eating the little hot dog on the roller after it's been out for 24 hours. That's the kind of decision making I make on my own, right? Not good. That's what we do as human beings. And I think here's what's so powerful to me about the gospel and about Jesus Christ. We're all in the same boat. Like, we're all sheep. We are all dumb. We all make bad decisions. And it's okay to admit that. Like, I don't, in my pride, if I can't admit that, what it will keep me from is actually being able to follow the shepherd and have him lead me to places that are so much better than any place I could lead myself. Like, that's the first step, is just to admit, I make bad decisions on my own. I do. I want to make better decisions, though. David says, follow the shepherd. Don't follow the sheep. Right? Be willing to be led by him. Right? One way that we kind of fight this, right, is that what do? We make excuses for our sin. And again, this isn't politically correct in our day and age. There is something called sin. We have a sin nature inside of us that is selfish and prideful and wants to do what we want to do and is leading us to destruction. And so what do we often do? This is a way that we kind of refuse to follow the leading and the guiding of the shepherd, is we make excuses for our sin. Think about some of the excuses that you make. Some things might even be popping into your mind right now. Well, I know God said that I shouldn't do this, but I really want to, so I'm going to do it anyway. Right? I know God says that I should do this, but I don't really feel like doing that. I know God says I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself, but I hate my neighbor, so I'm not going to do it. I don't like them. They don't cut their grass on time. They are rude to me when I'm pulling out of my driveway. Whatever the case might be, right? God says we're supposed to do that. I don't want to do that. God says we're to make disciples. We're supposed to be making disciples in this world, teaching people, telling them about Jesus if we have a relationship with Jesus. Well, that's for somebody else. Some other Christian, some other Jesus follower will do that. God says we're supposed to be generous, right, with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Well, that's a nice sentiment, but not for me. I don't really want to do that, right? We can keep going down the line of all of the things, all of the excuses that we make, right? And yet God is trying, Jesus is trying to get us to recognize something. Here's the problem with most sheep and the problem with most human beings. We are unwilling to lay down our desires, our wants, for what the shepherd desires and wants for us. We don't want to do that. We want to continue to do it our own way. And there is this denying of self that has to happen in order to let the shepherd lead us on the right path. Is there not? Jesus said these words. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. There's a denying of self that has to happen in order for us to follow the shepherd. But if we will do that, this is the promise. He leads us down paths of righteousness. Right? Now that path, don't miss this morning. It's hard to find sometimes. The path of righteousness, in fact, I would make this argument, we won't find it ourselves. Without the shepherd leading us there, we won't find it. This is what Jesus kind of says about this in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is a wide road, a road that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow road, a road that leads to life. Jesus is that road, right? If we understand the gospel today, and I'll give it to you real quick in a nutshell, right? We are powerless to save ourselves from sin. There is no amount of good works we can do to save ourselves. It is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, pouring out his blood for us, for our forgiveness, that's how we get through the gate. That's how we as sheep go through the gate. That's how we go to heaven. And there's no other way. This is it. This is what scripture teaches. Now, the world teaches there are many ways to heaven. The world teaches us that, you know, there's multiple facets to religions and ideologies that will get you there. This is what is the truth, though. The road is narrow, and you need a good, faithful, trustworthy shepherd to lead you through that gate. And this is the good news today. If we will follow him, we'll get through it every time. Like, every single time. Nobody misses out when they follow the shepherd. We miss out when we follow the sheep. I love the final word here that he uses. He says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. For whose name's sake? For his name's sake. Right, a lot of times I think we look at our path that we're on, right? And yeah, if we follow Jesus, it's going to bring us tremendous blessing. I so believe that. I really do. Following Jesus has been the best decision I've ever made in my life. Man, I had a family situation growing up that was not great. I went through some really challenging things, have gone through some really challenging things in my life. And you know what the constant has been the entire time? Even when I didn't know it, was Jesus walking with me through that. Changed everything. And so, yeah, he has blessed me beyond belief. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when we follow the shepherd, when we live righteously, because that's what he's really calling us to, right? He guides me along the right paths. He guides us to live a life that is honoring to him, that is obedient to him. When we do that, it brings his name incredible glory. And as we live that out, and I'm speaking now specifically to the Christians, I don't know, there may be some people sitting in this room today, you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing. Or maybe you're like, sure, you don't believe in Jesus. But for the Christian, for those of us who are part of his church, the way we walk that path, don't miss this today, is the greatest testimony we have to the world around us of the faithfulness of our God, of the glory of our God, how good he truly is, of his salvation in our lives. Right, so when we walk the right paths, what happens? His name gets lifted higher and higher and higher. And for me, the longer I'm alive, nothing brings me more joy than knowing that. Like, that's what I want to live for. I want to live for his name to be made known, not my own. When I'm living for my name to be made known, I am miserable. I am anxiety ridden. Everything is about me. It's miserable. But when I'm living for his name to be made known, changes everything. It fills us with something that nothing this world can fill us with. He goes on, though. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Boy, it's comforting to know that our shepherd wants to lead us down the right path and help us make the right decisions every time. That's so comforting to me. But it is also incredibly comforting to know that even though I might walk through the darkest valley, that's pretty powerful imagery right there, that he is with me, right? That I will fear no evil because he is with me. Oftentimes, sheep live in climates and kind of terrain where there are valleys and then there are mountains, and they spend time in both of these areas. During the winter months when the snow is at its worst up in the mountains, the shepherds will bring the sheep down into a safe place in the pastures down below, and they will stay there all winter. But in the springtime, as the snow begins to melt, the shepherds will begin to take those sheep and walk them through the valley. Because oftentimes the valley is the only way to get to the mountaintop. Now, if you picture this valley, I want you to just use your mind's eye to picture this imagery, right? Usually, deep down in the valley, oftentimes the sun can't touch down there. The mountains are so high up around it, right? Only at maybe noontime during the day is the sun really hitting in that valley. And so it's darker, it's colder. Predators know that when something's walking through the valley and they have the high ground, they've got the advantage. So there's often a lot of predators in the valley. Oftentimes, even in springtime, as they're making that trek up the mountainside and through the valley, storms, huge storms will blow in, and those sheep will be in great peril, great danger. Don't miss the illustration that David is using here and what he's trying to get us to understand. Right? The valley for us, right, might be some difficult circumstance, situation that we happen to be going through right now. We may be in the midst of an incredible storm right now. There may be perceived predators all around us right now. But as those sheep walk through that valley, do you know what they know? You know what they're sure of? As long as my shepherd is with me, I've got nothing to fear. And we're going to find out more about why that is in a second. But they know that. There is nothing to fear if my shepherd is with me. He's going to protect me. He's walking with me through this. If a storm blows in, he's going to find shelter for me and shelter me from that storm. And he's going to lead me to the mountaintop. See, I think this is something that is so comforting to me, right? We're talking about comfort today. This is a psalm of comfort. That oftentimes we must go through the valley in order to get to the mountaintop, do we not? Like, it is often in those valleys where we learn to trust our shepherd more than any other place. It's when we're under attack. It's when we're afraid. And he comforts us and he takes care of us, that there is a confidence that is built in us. There is a faith that is built in us that nothing else can produce. Right? It's in the valley where we learn that our faith is increased the quickest. And I'm telling you what, there's nothing that is more powerful than a strong faith. I mean, we all know this inherently, right? When you're going through a difficult circumstance and there are unknowns and you are questioning what, God, what is going on here? To be able to stand firm and know and to have faith that it's all going to be okay, that God is good and he is faithful and he's going to ultimately one day, even if it's not right now, he's going to work all this out for my good. That is powerful in a world, in the world that we are living in and where there is so much fear. Wow. I want that. I want that daily, and I want that for you, right? There's nothing greater than having a confidence in Christ, than being able to look back on how he has brought us through a valley in the past and put us on a mountaintop later. To know that he will bring us through it, again, that is incredibly powerful. And what does David say? He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Guys, this last couple of years, let's just be honest. Let's be real for a second. There has been a lot of fear going around. There's a lot of anxiety. There is so much just like in the pit of my stomach, right? In the pit of our stomachs in this culture, like, what's going to happen? We're living in this crazy world. It's the economy. It's this crazy virus taking over the world. Right? And we just feel like things are so out of control. Guys, I want to encourage you today. There are two ways to go through life. There is the way of following the shepherd and trusting that he is going to bring us through any dark valley. And there is the way of anxiety and fear. And for some of us, I want to be really honest with you today. Some of us need to get off of CNN and Fox. We need to get off of Twitter and Instagram. And we need to focus. We need to focus our eyes on our shepherd and let him take us through the valley. Come on, amen? Like, that stuff is just, we are living in the most anxious time in the history of the world. And I don't think that it's a coincidence. We have screens in front of us nonstop, pumping our minds and our hearts and our spirits full of fear, because that's all it is. Somebody texted me the other day. It was right after the election happened. This is not a political statement. I don't care what side of the coin you were on. But they texted me and basically said, we're doomed. And my immediate reaction to that was, we are doomed. The whole world is doomed. Absolutely. If you are a believer, you recognize this world is not going to be here forever. It ultimately is going to be doomed. But at the end of the day, I'm not doomed. My life is not going to be predicated on an election. My world is not going to be shattered based on anything that happens in the world. Why? Because I know the truth and the promises that my Savior has made to me. I have seen how he has brought me and the world through many valleys before. I look back on that and I'm like, we're going to be fine. Stop scaring the children. Like, it's all going to be okay. It is. Why? Because God is sovereign and he is in control. He's got this. And I've seen him do it over and over again. And I want that for you. I want you to have that kind of confidence. That's why I say that today. Because I don't want you going through this life living in fear and anxious all the time. It's miserable. David says, even though we walk through that dark valley, we don't have to fear evil. I love this verse and these words of Jesus. They comfort me all the time. Perfect love drives out all fear. That's what Jesus says. Perfect love drives out fear. We have a perfect Savior who loves us perfectly, who has made amazing promises to us. And in that, I don't have to fear anymore. That's amazing news today. All right, so he goes on. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We don't have to fear because his rod and his staff are constantly comforting us. Now, let's look at the rod. I believe we have a graphic to throw up there. I want us to see this imagery, okay? And so the rod essentially is this small stick, maybe 12 to 18 inches long, and it's got kind of like a little club head on the end. And what shepherds will do is they will go out into the woods, they will find that perfect piece of wood, and they will whittle that thing and shape that thing to the point where it is a perfect weapon to be able to be used to fend off the wolves from the sheep. Right, they select it, they carve it. It is perfectly suited for the shepherd. And it is amazing. Again, I referenced this book last week by a guy by the name of Philip Keller, who was a shepherd. He's a believer. And he talks about how it's amazing to watch a shepherd wield that rod. Like how accurate they become with that rod in throwing that thing if there is any kind of danger, if there's a predator out looking to devour or attack one of his sheep, right? They will throw that thing. It actually becomes almost like an extension of the shepherd, right? The scriptures, I want us to see this today. When he says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The word of God for us as people is that rod. Right? It's the word of God. It's the scriptures. It's our weapon against the lies and the attacks of the predator who is Satan, our enemy, who wants to destroy us. It is his word, right? God's word is an extension of his mind, his will, his power, right? His word comforts us like a rod comforts the sheep. It's always in his hand, ready to fend off those lies. But it does more than that. The rod is also used to discipline the sheep. And so the shepherd uses it to fend off attacks from the enemies, from the predators. But a shepherd will also use this rod to discipline. Right? Sometimes the sheep will kind of like start wandering off a little bit. And the shepherd will literally take that stick and clunk right on the head, man. Wake them up. Get them to come back. Right? Sometimes we need that. Can we just be honest and admit that today? Like sometimes I need the word of God to clunk me over the head a little bit and remind me, dude, you're straying a little bit here. You're wandering from the truth. And you're headed down a path of destruction if you continue to do that. That's how the shepherd uses the word, and that's how God, or the rod, and that's how God uses the word to kind of redirect us, right, to discipline us. Finally, though, he uses that rod to examine us. There's a shepherding term It's actually also found in Ezekiel 20, verse 37. It says to come under the rod. So oftentimes what a shepherd will do is as they are bringing the sheep into the pen for the night, they will take that rod and each sheep will actually have to walk underneath of that rod. And the shepherd will take the rod and he will inspect its wool, looking for insects, sores, broken limbs, right? Inspecting that sheep to make sure that everything is okay with that sheep. Right? And if there's something wrong with it, what does the shepherd do? He takes great care to remedy whatever that thing is so that it doesn't do more damage in the future. Right? He takes that rod and he gets below the wool, so to speak. Right? In the same way, here's what we need, each of us. We need the word of God to get below the wool sometimes. Right? To get through all of the fluff and the exterior that we put up and the defenses we put up. And maybe just the things that we aren't even aware of in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. I know I need that. I'm blinded to that so often. This is what the word of God does. It reveals things. I love another Psalm. 139, 23 to 24. This is David again as well. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, God. Search me and know my anxious thoughts. Test me. See if there's any offensive way in me. See if there's any sin in me that needs to be dealt with. Like we, in this world, it's so easy. Like Christians, I feel like, have gotten this bad rap, right? And I think partly it's our own fault. Because we come across incredibly judgmental when we talk about sin. But this is the way we need to talk about sin. Sin is destroying people's lives. It is. And I'm not okay with that. And none of us should be okay with that. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to address it. And we're going to allow the word of God to infiltrate our life and to change us. That's all David is saying here. God, I want that. I'm okay with that. I recognize I'm broken. I'm screwed up. And I need you. I need you to get under the wool and to show me and reveal to me so that I can grow and become better. That's the rod. But then there's the staff of the shepherd. Probably the most recognizable thing, right, when it comes to a shepherd, that shepherd's staff or that shepherd's crook, it's often called, with this big hook on the top of it, right? It is unique to caring for sheep and sheep alone. There is no other profession that uses this shepherd's crook. It's designed specifically for them, and the intent of the staff, don't miss this today, is comfort. It's comfort. It is to comfort the sheep, right? The rod is this powerful weapon. It is the authority of the word of God, but the staff is the Spirit of God. And when he says your rod and your staff, they comfort me, it is the word first, but it is also the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is called our advocate. It's called our comforter for a reason. Right? The staff, this long, slender stick with this hook on the end, is of great, great comfort to the sheep. It is often used to very gently, as the sheep are walking away, to kind of grab them and pull them close to the shepherd, so that those sheep can be near the shepherd, so that they can feel the touch of his hand and be comforted by that. Oftentimes, you will actually see a shepherd with that staff walking a path, and they're actually just ever so gently touching the end of that staff to one of the sheep. And many sheep, they actually, in that moment, it's like they're in just complete comfort. It's like they're walking hand in hand, holding hands as they walk. This is what our shepherd does for us. This is what he does by the power of his Holy Spirit. He comforts us. He draws us close. He guides us, right? He rescues us. This is another thing that the staff does. I know we've talked about this multiple times, but sheep are dumb. They get themselves in some really tricky spots sometimes. They fall down into cracks and crevices. down into ravines, and that shepherd will often take that staff and he will reach down into that crevice and be able to pull that sheep out with that staff. And he will comfort them, let them know everything is going to be okay. Right? The staff, it represents the Spirit of God just gently comforting and correcting as needed, as if to say, let me show you how to walk in the right way. Let me just steer you in the right direction here. Let me pull you back when you need to be pulled back. Let me kind of cattle prod you forward a little bit when you need to be pushed forward. This is the Spirit of God, the rod and the staff, and those two things, they should bring great comfort to us. Knowing that our Lord and Savior is willing to get under the wool and to reveal things to us that we didn't know about that are going to actually help us live better lives, that should bring great comfort, that he desires to do that for us. And knowing that we have the Holy Spirit of God there to comfort and correct and guide us, man, we don't have to go through this life on our own. Our shepherd is right here with us, walking with us through it all. He goes on. Last two verses now, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oftentimes, sheep live in areas where there are these things called mesas, which is just the Spanish word for table. Oftentimes, they're actually called tablelands. And so what the shepherd will do is he will lead the sheep through the valley in springtime, and during the summer, they will spend their summers grazing in the tablelands, up high above everything else, where there's not nearly as many predators, where food is aplenty, right? And what the shepherd will do is before springtime hits, before the shepherd makes that journey with the sheep, he will go ahead of them. And he will prepare that land. He will get that tableland ready for his sheep to come and dine and feast and have just the, you know what it's like in the summer, right? When it's warm and you've come out of winter and spring and it's just like, it's amazing. This is what the shepherd does for his sheep. He leads them to those tablelands in the same way. He does this for us. He prepares a table for us to dine at, to sit at, and to enjoy. He wants to fill us. He wants to prepare a place for us where we are free from everything in this life that just drags us down. And doesn't change the fact that there are still things going on all around the sheep as they're on those tablelands. There are still predators around. But they're in this amazing place where they're really pretty much totally safe. He's preparing that table for us. This is what our God is doing. And as he does that, it says, he anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows. This is what David says. You anoint my head with oil, God. My cup overflows. As we begin to experience the feast that God is preparing for us at the table, God comes and he begins to anoint our head with oil. Back in ancient times, in biblical times, a good host would always provide an anointing of oil for travelers that would come and visit and stay with them. He would actually pour perfumes and oils over them. A lot of times, weary travelers in the climate that they were in, it was dry and dusty, and they would come in, and their skin would be cracked and bleeding, and as that oil would just run over them, it would soothe all of those traveling challenges that they were facing. They would just sit, and as they held their cup, right, that oil would flow, right? The imagery flowing into that cup, and that cup, the oil would pour out so much that the cup would literally overflow. This is the anointing of God, the blessing of God, the grace and the mercy that he wants to pour out on us. But this is what David is saying, God, your grace and your mercy, they never stop flowing. I am anointed by those things. And no matter what is going on in my life, I feel your presence. I feel your anointing. Sheep oftentimes will get something called scab, which is really disgusting sounding, and it is. Oftentimes they will get this scab mite, it's called. It will get up inside of their nostrils. Get ready. I don't know where you're going to lunch, but get up inside of their nostrils, and it will lay eggs, and these larvae will hatch inside their nose and create this thing called, like, brain itch, I believe is what it's called, to the point where these sheep, like, and it starts to create, like, all these sores and everything on their face and their head, and some sheep will literally run themselves into a rock or a tree to just try to get relief from this. They will do that so hard that it will actually kill them. It's really sad, actually. But what a good shepherd will do is there's a very special oil that is put on the sheep in order to relieve that scab. And it does. It brings like this soothing relief to the sheep. It begins to heal it. Take that away. Take that affliction away. Right, in the same way, I don't know about you, but I need God's mercies anew every day. Every single day. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need that soothing oil being poured over top of me. And because of this, I love this. I think this might be my favorite three words in this entire psalm. He says, my cup overflows. Because of the care that God is giving to his sheep, because of the care that David feels, the presence of God in his life, in spite of all the things that we know, David went through some really challenging times. In spite of all of that, what does David say? My cup overflows. Can I ask you today, does your cup overflow? Is it overflowing? Right, an overflowing cup looks like just joy unspeakable. Looks like peace and contentment in the midst of any circumstance that we're going through. Does it overflow, or are you just kind of faking it till you make it? I think, unfortunately, in our world, that's where a lot of people are. Just faking it till they make it, man. God has a better plan for you than that, than faking it till you make it. He wants to overflow your cup. And then finally, verse 6, he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Sheep who have a good shepherd, this is the bottom line. They will develop a deep trust in their shepherd. A trust that nothing can break. That it's a trust that's proven over and over again, right? As they are protected and taken care of. I believe David reached a place of maturity here, where he could say, God is good all the time, and what? Amen. Where God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And for me, there are days when that's really hard to say. I don't feel like saying that. But I want to. I want to say that every day. I want to feel that his goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, right? Whether I'm in the valley or I'm up on the mountaintop, I want to be able to say that. Right? When you experience God's goodness and his love in the way that David has experienced it here, and the way I believe all of us can experience it, his goodness begins to follow you like your shadow. Everywhere you go, his goodness follows. And so there's two things I want us to see here. Number one, right, as we recognize the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and how he is showing his grace and his mercy to us anew every single day, right, we begin to experience his goodness in our life, and it follows us everywhere we go. But there's a trail that's left for those of us who are actually experiencing that and living that out. His goodness and mercy begin to leave a trail behind us, not just in us. Sheep, whether you know this or not, sheep are probably, under the proper direction, one of the most beneficial livestock that there are. Their manure, not to get too graphic today, but their manure is actually one of the best fertilizers of any animal that there are. sheep, if you take them to a pasture where there's nothing but weeds and you need to get rid of those weeds, sheep will graze those weeds out in a matter of days and prepare that land to be able to actually grow fresh, healthy things. Right? In other words, wherever sheep go, if they are led by a good shepherd, goodness follows them. Goodness follows them. Whatever pasture they go through, they eat the weeds. They leave good soil behind that can grow and be fertilized and be healthy. Right? For those of us who are following Jesus, for those of us who are being impacted by his goodness and his mercy daily, it should be the same thing with us. We should be leaving a trail behind us of goodness and love. Everywhere we go, God's goodness should follow. And it absolutely can. It can. The question I have for you, is your life leaving that kind of trail? Is goodness and love following you wherever you go? As believers, those of us who are Christians in the house today, that should be our desire. We should want that. Finally, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, man, I don't want to leave this place. Man, if you're a sheep in the house of the good shepherd, I don't want to go to any other house. I don't want any other shepherd. Like, this is my house. This is the place where I want to be, right? God has been so good to me. My shepherd has been so good to me, right? His house is the bomb, yo. Or should I say yins, right? It should be yins, right? His house is amazing. The fridge is always full, right? You know he's got a nice snuggie there waiting for you every day when you come home. And it's been a hard, stressful work day, but you get to come back into the house of the Lord every single day. That's where I want to dwell. And that's what David is saying. David's like, I've dwelled in some ugly places, right? He was on the run. We know this. For his life, for years and years from King Saul, living in caves, sleeping on rocks. He's like, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever because I recognize, man, there is no better house to live in. Plush bed, one of those little salt lamps. Anybody have those? I love sitting next to my little salt lamp. The warm glow in the evening, right? You just feel that peace and calm in your house. There's nothing better than going into your home at the end of a long, hard day and just knowing I'm home. This is what Christ offers us every single day. We don't ever have to be outside of his presence. We don't have to. That should bring us great comfort. Each of these things, and all of these things should bring us great comfort. So I want to read this one last time, and then we're going to close. It says, he guides me along the paths for his name's sake, the right paths for his name's sake. Man, does that not comfort you today? You want wisdom? You want direction? You want good discernment and decision-making in your life? He's offering it. What a great comfort as we try to navigate this life and have very difficult decisions to make on a day-to-day basis. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Whatever dark valley we're walking through, he's with us. He's there to comfort us. He's there to take us through it. And at the end of it, our faith is going to grow because of it. So let us not look at those dark valleys as negative things. I mean, let's just begin to look at that as an opportunity for our faith to grow in our amazing Savior. Nothing is better than that confidence. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Man, he wants his grace and mercy to pour out on us. And then surely your goodness will and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that not comfort you today? Does that not make your cup overflow? And so today, I want to talk to two people, two groups of people, if you will. The gospel says that we are sinners and we are broken, but there is a good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. That's what John 10 says. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And all he calls us to do is surrender to him. He says, you want to begin to live in the comfort that David discovered by the end of his life as he wrote that psalm? You want to be able to navigate this life with less fear, with better decision making, and the knowledge that when it's all said and done, even if this life never turns out exactly the way I thought it would, there is a promise of heaven and eternity for all who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is why we do everything that we do here at True North Church, so that people might discover that and begin to live in that. Man, because we want to see people set free. If that's you today, right now, wherever you are, I just encourage you, have a moment with God. Talk to him. Cry out to him from your heart. Surrender to him. Let him begin to lead you on the right paths. And your life will never be the same. And church, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, man, let us not forget. We have a good shepherd. It's easy to wander some days. I know. It is. It's easy to get off the path. Man, we got to keep our eyes on our shepherd every day from one moment to the next. I want your cup to overflow. I want my cup to overflow.